We're going to pick up You Got This series. Are you getting the fact that God has already given you all you need to live your life? Anyone getting that?
Yeah.
Anyone getting that from this series that we've been doing? That actually all that you need, everyone say the word all. All that you need, God has already given to you. We are going to, in a moment, you can be finding this while I'm opening this morning. We're going to be turning to the book of Micah. I'm giving you a few minutes because it's one of those books that you'll probably all go to your index for. Okay, because I know I do. All right, and so we're going to be turning to Micah chapter 7. But I want to tell you a story of something me and my brother and sister used to get up to when we were little. Okay, and we lived in a terraced house, and my dad was a builder by trade, and he had made the upstairs, the attic, into a massive bedroom. It was huge, and me and my sister used to share the bedroom. Her half was untidy, my half wasn't, and so we used to share the room, and every so often on a Sunday night when it was the school holidays, we'd come home from church, and we'd bring half the church home with us. Okay, so we go to our mum and dad, and I'm experiencing this now. Me and usually Liz and Paul or James and Diane will experience this at the end of a Sunday where our kids run to us, and we know exactly what they are saying. Okay, they're coming to go, can so-and-so come for dinner? Can so-and-so come to play? And if we say no, they go to Liz and Paul. And if Liz and Paul say no, they go to James and Diane or vice versa. And so when I was little, we used to come at the end of a Sunday evening and ask if people could come back. And sometimes mum and dad said yes. And so people would come back and we'd hang out and the adults would be downstairs talking serious. And we had a game that we loved playing upstairs. Now, if you are into health and safety, either remember that this was the 1980s and no one had heard of health and safety, or don't listen for the next couple of minutes. We had this amazing game. And what this game was is we used to get like blankets out, or sleeping bags were better because they were shiny. Okay, we used to get sleeping bags out and we used to put them on the floor, and one person would be it and someone else would turn the light off. And basically the game was this: you had to go around and feel where all the sleeping bags were and just whip them up like that. And basically if someone was stood on them, they would go flying. So this was the thing, and the whole thing of the game was that you had to be on your feet when the light went back on. So that we used to play this game. There could be like 10 of us in our bedroom or whatever. We'd get all the sleeping bags we could find. Thankfully it was in the attic, so like the thuds didn't really sound that much downstairs. And so we'd be upstairs with our mates, and we'd put music on, and we'd turn the light off, and we'd kind of run around. Now, when my brother was on, he was one of the oldest, that was when the injuries would happen, okay? But we would whip the sleeping bag from underneath people, and the whole thing was, when the light switches on, you need to be stood on your feet. If you weren't, you were out. Now, when you were out, you were meant to sit on the bed and not do anything. Okay, but what usually would happen is when you were out, you would join in getting rid of the sleeping bags and see how many people you could injure. Okay, but the whole thing is that when we were in the dark, we couldn't really see what we were doing. We couldn't see who we were falling on. You couldn't fall easily because you had no idea you were about to. And when the light turned on, the whole thing was that we should be stood up and still standing and still in the game. I want to read to us from the book of Micah. And it's an Old Testament prophetical book, and I want to read to us from Micah chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 7. I'm reading from the Voice translation of the Bible, and it says this: "But as for me," I love verses that start like that because the responsibility and the onus is on me straight away. I can't say, "But as for Jane," or, you know, "But as for Sharon," or "But as for Susie," I can't do that. I have to say, "But as for me, I will look to the Eternal One, and my hope is in the true God who will save me. My God will hear me. Do not gloat at my fate, my enemy. Although I am down now, I will rise up. Although I am in darkness now, the Eternal One will be my light. I must bear his anger because I have sinned against him until he argues on my behalf and rights all my wrongs. He will bring me into the light, and then I will see his saving justice." We're going to be looking this morning at the fact that you got the light. You got the light. the light of God is not something that you have to try and attain to. It's not something that you have to try and get. When you became a Christian, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. And when you became a Christian, the light of the world came to dwell in you. So you've got the light, and we spend so long asking God for the light, and I'm sure God screams from heaven, it's already there. You've already got it. See, light and darkness are very subjective things. Math and I are complete opposites. I always say that, don't I? We're complete opposites on this every time. Okay, we're opposites. Opposites attract, okay? So we have a very great marriage because we're totally opposites. But math loves the light. Maybe this means he's a bit more holy than me. Okay, but like where seasons go, math loves summer where it's light until 10 o'clock at night. He loves it. Anyone else waiting for that? Okay, free light. Okay, that's why he likes it, because we don't use any electricity in those months, people. Okay, whereas me, I like autumn. So I like it when the nights begin to draw in and I can light the fire, put lamps on, have twinkly lights everywhere and use the electricity that he has obviously saved in the summer. You see, light and darkness is very subjective. A lot of the time in the natural, some will like one and some will like the other. Some will like the light nights and other people will like the coziness of the darker nights. Okay, and it's very subjective. But I want to say to you, in faith terms, it shouldn't be. In faith terms, it shouldn't be. In terms of our relationship with God, the Bible says that we need to be in the light. I feel like bursting into song, those of you who knew DC Talk, okay? But we need to be in the light because the Bible says that God is light. And in him, there is no darkness. Right. So actually, where it comes to my faith, I've got to be someone who loves the light and who doesn't like the darkness. I was listening to a preach this week by a guy called Jensen Franklin, and he was talking about this, and he was talking about people that have gone away from faith. And he said these words, I really wish they were mine because it's good, but he said these words, those who walk away from faith would still say they love God. The problem wasn't that they didn't love God, the problem was that they didn't hate darkness. The problem wasn't, do we love God? And the problem for us a lot of the time isn't, do we love God? The problem is that darkness has become okay to us. That the things that happen in darkness has become all right to us. Yeah. That we think as long as when the light switches on, we're still left standing, it's okay because we're still in the game. But actually, I want to say to you this morning that we have got to be people who love the light. Yeah. Who love walking in the light and who allow God to shine his light on the areas of our life that we know we are struggling with. It's not enough to have the light. We need to walk away from the darkness. It's not enough to say this morning, I've become a Christian and I've got the light, if we're not walking in it. Yeah. And so this morning, I want to bring a word to us about the fact that we've already got the light. What happens when we live as people who have got the light? How do we live with the light? What happens? What do we have to do? Because at the beginning of Micah chapter 7, verses 7 to 9, it says this, but as for me. And I want to take it down to the personal this morning and bring a challenge to us that we should be living in the light and we should be hating the darkness. Yeah. We don't hate people who might be in the darkness, but we hate what the darkness has done to our world and what it's done to our society. So I want to look at three things about the light this morning. Is that okay? Yeah. So you can all know when I'm coming to a close. All right, we're going to look at three things this morning, just three very simple things about light. And the first one is this. You control the light in you. When you become a Christian, the light dwells in you, but you can turn it off. You can choose to switch it off, or you can choose to switch it on and allow God to do in you what he wants to do. We might have the light, but we can choose what we do with the light. We can choose what we do with the light that God has deposited inside of us. I live in a world where when I'm at work, I walk around this building, and he's not here this morning, so I can talk about him. And I see all the little notices that Richard Hardwick put around the building. And it says, last out, lights out. Okay? So I walk about and I see near all the light switches, last out, lights out, okay? And I live in a house, obviously, where Matt doesn't really want to use electricity to light the house, as in he likes summer better because it's cheaper, okay? And so, like we are always telling our kids, switch the light off. And I have to admit, I am probably worse than the kids. So I leave the lights on. I've come home from a day's work and I've left the lamp on in the front room and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, or we come into the drive and I look up and Oliver's left his light on because that's the window that we see at the front of our house. And it's Ollie, the light. But I can remember this one day I was in the back room and I can't remember what I'd been doing, but I was in the back room and it was getting quite dark outside. And I walked out of the room and I turned the light off, to which Matt was like, "What are you doing? I'm sat right here, okay? But I have been told both at work and at home, switch off the light, turn off the light, last out, lights out." And the thing is, we have a choice on whether to turn the light on or whether to turn it off in our faith and in our Christian walk. Lights have a switch, and you can use the switch. You can choose to turn the light of God off in your life and begin to walk in the darkness and begin to walk in things that he never intended you to walk in, or you can choose to allow the light of God to shine on every area of your life. But I want to tell you this, that when you turn the light of God on, the light of God isn't like these lights here. So we have angled these lights so they shine on certain parts of the stage, okay? So that when, you know, when Jane's singing over here, we can see her singing and she looks amazing and it's all fantastic. We have angled the lights to go in a certain way because we want atmosphere and it looks pretty and all of that kind of stuff. Let me tell you this, when you allow the light of God to shine in your life, it's either on or off. There's no, you can shine in this bit, but leave that bit alone. Because when God shines his light on us, everything is up for grabs. Everything needs to be seen. God never forces us to have his light come and expose those things that are in darkness. God longs for us to flick the switch. He longs for us to turn the light on and leave it on because he knows that when we do that, he can do things in us and through us that he could never do when it's turned off. See, the Bible says in the book of Matthew that we are to let our light shine so that others may see our good deeds and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Yeah. So actually, when we allow God to shine the light on us, others should see what's happening and we should glorify God with our life. How do we know when it's on? How do we know when the light's switched on? How do the people around us know when the light is switched on in our life? One way they know is that our lives line up to what the Bible says. Our lives line up. You know, a lot of the time I have people come and say, "God has told me this." And if it doesn't line up to the Bible, I can categorically say, "No, he hasn't." Usually when people come and say, "God has said," I kind of feel, well, who am I to kind of challenge that or anything like that? But when it doesn't line up with the Bible, I can pretty much tell you that's not God talking to you. When the light is shone in our lives, we will line up with what the Bible says. When the light is switched on, we will have a peace with how we are living. And it won't just be a peace that we talk about. It will be a peace that we experience. I've seen so many people talk about, "I'm living in peace and the peace of God is." And then the next sentence, they're worrying about something. Do you know what? When we know we are living right, when we know the light of God is shining on us, we will have a peace in how we are living. When the light's switched on, others will see what we do and they'll see Jesus. I don't know about you, I want to point people to Jesus this morning. I want my life, not just my words, to point people to Jesus. If people were to look at your life, I can't remember, there was a famous preacher who once said, you know, his life speaks about Jesus and sometimes he might use words. You know, when he talks about Jesus, sometimes he might use words. The rest of the time, he's using the way that he is living. And then the fourth thing is that when the light is switched on, we will refuse to live half-heartedly for God. We will refuse to do that. We will be all in. I was having a conversation with someone on Friday, and they said this to me, "I'm an all-in or all-out kind of person." I can get along with those kind of people. because I'm exactly the same. I'm either all in or I'm not. Very rare do you find me half-heartedly doing something. If I'm doing something half-heartedly, I'll usually quit. Because I hate that. But when the light of God is shining in on us, there will be no half-heartedness in us in how we live for Him. You see, you can't just switch the light on in one area and leave another area untouched. When the light is active in your life, it will be active in every single area. As I'm speaking this morning, what areas are coming into your mind that you're thinking, please, not that area. You can't switch your light on in that area. I love mood lighting in my house because when I have mood lighting and it's quite dark, you can't see that I've not hoovered the rug. I love it. That's why I do mood lighting, okay? I don't want the big light on. I want the smaller lights on because I've not hoovered today. Or I want the smaller lights on because you can't see the mess that's under the table that I've hidden out of the way because somebody's coming round, okay? Instead of putting it away, I just hide it under tables. Or I have been known to stick all the rubbish in one room and just shut the door and not open it. Anyone else do that? Good. I'm in good company. You're all going to check different rooms in my house when you come around now, aren't you? Oh, she has really cleaned this week. That's good of her. But I want to say to you this morning that we don't just switch one light on. We have the light switched on in every area of our life. I want to read to you from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. I love these words. It says this: this is the life-giving message we heard Him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. You know, I would love messages that we share in this church to still be ringing in your ears on Wednesday. I love this life-giving message we heard Him share. It's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat His words to you. God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in Him. If we claim that we share life with Him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. Get this. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds Him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. I love this verse. Living in the light makes us pure, and it gives us unity. I love that. When we live in the light, because there's no darkness in God, and when we allow the light of God to shine on our lives and we get right the things that are wrong, He cleanses us, the Bible says, from all of our sin. We live in purity. And then it says this, that we share unbroken fellowship with one another. I want to say to you this morning, it's not just about you getting it right with God. It's about us getting it right with one another. And you know what the Bible says in John 15? That the world will know that we're His disciples when we walk, when we love one another. And you can only really love one another when the light of God is dealing with the mess sometimes that's inside of our lives. And when we come to a place where we allow the light in, we actually find that our relationship with one another gets better. When we switch the light on, we will walk together differently, with a different attitude, with a different faith, and with a different unity. So this morning, you've got the light. It's already in you if you know Jesus. You just got to switch it on. You got to turn it on this morning. The second thing that happens when we switch the light on, if you like, is simply this: we see more clearly. I don't know if you've ever been in a dark room and all of a sudden someone's come and switched the light on. But it can take a while, can't it, for you to begin to see clearly. Because you're used to the darkness and someone has put something bright inside of you. And it can take a few moments for your vision to adjust. It can take a few moments for you to begin to see clearly. Do you know what? When God begins to shine into and out of our lives, it can take some time to adjust. But when we do, we can walk with clear vision and see so differently. And what I want to do is look at three things that we see differently and more clearly when we walk in the light. Number one, we see ourselves differently. I am my greatest critic. I don't need many people to criticize. I don't need many people to tell me where I go wrong, because I am one of my greatest critics. I will sometimes sit down, I don't know if you ever do this as well, I will sometimes sit down and look at everything that I did wrong in a day rather than the things that I got right. It's a personality trait. It's how I am. I am self-analytical. But I want to say to you, actually, when the light of God shines into your life, you will begin to see yourself differently. Because you will begin to see yourselves how God sees you. Do you know this morning how God sees you? Do you know this morning the pure love and the joy and the exuberance that God has over the fact that you're sat in this seat this morning? Do you know that God thinks you are so incredible and so amazing that he sent his son to die for you? Yeah. When we allow the light of God to shine in our lives, we begin to see ourselves more clearly. Micah says this, he says, I must bear his anger because I have sinned. And I kind of read that and I began to get really thankful to God because I don't need to bear God's anger because I've sinned. The Bible tells me Jesus did that when he died on the cross. Yeah. So I want to say to you this morning, actually, you begin to look at yourself differently when you realize you've got the light and when you allow the light to turn on and you allow God to do something in you. You know, Jesus gave his life so I could live free of God's anger and see myself as he sees me. God isn't my greatest critic. God is my greatest cheerleader. There are times when he tells me where my life could be made better, but it's not to be critical, it's to cheer me on to the greater things that he has got for me. This morning, you've got the light. You just need to switch it on and allow God to do something in you. The second thing is that we see others differently. We'll begin to see others the way God sees them as the light turns on in us. You know, I've watched people come from a position of they've got to be critical of everyone else to make themselves look better. And when the light turns on and they begin to see themselves differently, they begin to look at other people differently. Do you know what I love about events like Crown tonight is that we're meeting with a group of women who are going to cheer one another on. We're not here to compete. We're not here to see who can be the best. We're not here to pull others down so we can look better. Because actually the light of God switches on inside of us. And as we begin to see ourselves differently, so we will begin to see others differently. We will look past what divides us to what unites us. I have a challenge for you that I want you to do this week. Who's up for a challenge? Yeah. I see those hands. Okay. And those of you who didn't actually raise your hands, we know you were doing it in your heart. Okay. I've got this challenge for you this week. Pick a day. Pick more than one if you're feeling really spiritual. But pick a day. And for a whole 24 hours, you've got to let everything you say to others, about others, whether they are there or whether they are not, be encouraging. You're not allowed to say one negative thing about someone else. And begin to see how you'll begin to see others differently. Because maybe some of us struggle with the whole thing of, we're critical about other people. We're judgmental about other people. Do you know what? The only person that I really need to look at and say, are they living right, is me. The only person you need to look at and say, are they living right, is you. And there are times when we have hard conversations and there are times where God may use us to point out something in someone else's life. But let's not spiritualize that to pick on people. I don't know if you've ever had that done. I have loads of times. When people come and say, I feel the Lord just told me to tell you this. And then they tell me everything that is wrong with my life or that they think is wrong with my life. And it's like, thanks. Are we just going to encourage your sister? No, you're not, actually. Nothing of what you've just said is encouraging. So I've got a challenge for you this week, 24 hours, one 24-hour period. Everything that comes out of your mouth needs to be encouraging, needs to be God-focused, needs to be full of light, no darkness in it. Because when we gossip, when we judge, when we talk badly about other people, that's darkness living in us. That's not light. So we see ourselves differently. We see others differently. And then thirdly, we see life differently. We begin to see life differently. The way we see our past, the way that we look at our future, the way that we see our world and what's going on. It all changes when the light switch is on. It all changes when the light is switched on in our life. We see light even when we're surrounded by darkness. Our vision is adjusted to see life through the lens of God's light. We look at our struggles differently. We look at those things that we're finding hard differently when the light of God is switched on in our life. And even when life seems dark, you have within you the power to walk in the light. But as for me, Micah says, I'm going to look to the eternal. I'm going to look to the one who brings the light, who gives the light. This year, at the beginning of the year, we had a month where we prayed together every week. And one of the things that I brought that a lot of people have talked about since was simply the verse from Psalm 119, verse 105, that says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we talked about the fact that sometimes God only lights up one step in front of us. Sometimes the light of God seems quite minimal and we can't see long distance. We can only see the step in front of us. And other times the light goes on our path and we can kind of see where we're going. You know, so many who were at that prayer time when I shared this have taken that and are beginning to walk sometimes in the light just to take one step, and sometimes they can see a bit more clearly. But we've got to start to walk in the light that God has given us. We've got to start to walk in the things that he has already given us. And then thirdly, so we see more clearly. But thirdly, when we live in light, I love this. I get excited by this. Micah says that we will rise. We will rise. And I want to say to you this morning, as the light switches on, as God's light switches on in your life and in my life, it's time not to just sit back. It's not time to sit down, but it's time to rise. And it's time to hold your head up. And it's time to let those around you see what God is doing in you and become a part of that. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 19 says this. I love these words. It says, even if the fig tree does not blossom and there are no grapes on the vines, even if the olive tree fails to give fruit and the fields produce no food, even if the flocks die far from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, still I will rejoice in the eternal. I will rejoice in the God who saves me. The eternal Lord is my strength. He has made my feet like the feet of a deer, and he allows me to walk on the high places. This morning I want to say, as we switch the light on, as we turn it on in our life, as we allow our vision to be adjusted, we will begin to walk in a different place. When you walk in the high places, when you walk in the places that don't just look at what you're facing, at what you're seeing, they begin to look down on things. When we begin to rise, when we turn the light on, we will begin to rise and we will begin to look at things differently. Do you know, this morning, you're not meant to stay where God first found you. There used to be a kind of teaching that went round that, you know, we're all meant to be downcast and we're all meant to, you know, just stay sitting, you know, and lowly, and, you know, God can't do anything through me. I am merely a human being. And although I don't agree with the thing of I am brilliant and I don't need God, okay, there is something inside of me this morning that actually believes what God's saying to some of you is, will you get up? Will you rise? Even though the fig tree doesn't blossom, even though there's the doctor's report, even though there's a hard situation, even though the bank balance is empty, even though the career might be on the line, even though you're in exam season, even though things are happening in your world and in your family and with your friendships, even though, will you still praise? I was saying this morning that, you know, when we sing a raise a hallelujah, it's not just about us being louder with our voices. It's about us being louder with our faith. And this morning I want to say to you, God is actually coming to you again and going, will you rise? I want to make you walk in the high places. I want to make it so that you can walk with a different perspective on what is happening. I want to make it so you get up. on your feet and you begin to walk the life that I have called you to walk, you have sat in your stuff and in your mess and in the things that you think have gone wrong and should have gone right. You've sat in your disappointment and you've sat in your heartache. But this morning, will you rise? Will you get up? And even if nothing changes, will you praise and will you begin to walk on a different plane than what you are doing right now? When we turn the light on, we will rise. Isaiah 60, and we're going to bring everything to a close with this. Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 3 say this: arise, shine, for your light has broken through. The Eternal One's brilliance has dawned upon you. See truly, look carefully. Darkness blankets the earth. People all over are cloaked in darkness. But God will rise and shine on you. The Eternal's bright glory will shine on you, a light for all to see. Nations north and south, peoples east and west will be drawn to your light, will find purpose and direction by your light. In the radiance of your rising, you will enlighten the leaders of nations. Can I say to you this morning, church, that when you rise, you give someone else a chance? Because someone else will see. It says there, in the radiance of your rising, you will enlighten nations. But you still need to make the decision to switch the light on. Whatever that might mean for you, I've known what it's meant for me over my life. I've known the choices that I've had to make because I've switched the light on. And some of those choices have been hard. Sometimes I've been walking one way and I've had to totally turn around and walk another way because I've switched the light on and I've had to make the tough choice. But I want to tell you that when you rise, you give those around you a chance as well. When you rise to new heights in God, those around you are affected as light is seen and affects every area of darkness that it shines upon. This morning, it's time to get up. It's time to arise. It's time to turn the light on. It's time to allow God to shine into those areas of your life that you've not allowed him to shine into before. It's time to allow God to do something in you that is unprecedented. It's time to allow God to do something through you that the only way it can happen is when his light is shined on you. When we live in the light, when we choose to switch it on, and when we allow it to adjust our vision and cause us to rise, others will be affected. Other people will be affected as you rise. Other people will be affected as you switch the light on. Who are those family members that you're praying for? Anyone praying for someone who doesn't know Jesus? Okay. Let me tell you, they won't always find him through your words. They will find him through your life. They'll find him as you begin to let your light shine, it says in Matthew. Others will see what you do, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. Because they will see it's not just you that's doing it, but someone is working in you and through you. This morning, we don't need to come and ask God for the light, because when we invited Jesus into our lives, we got the light. This morning, you've got the light. Some of you need to switch it on. Some of you need to maybe adjust what you see and how you see it. And others of you need to go from this position to this position. You need to walk away from those things that have kept you in darkness. You need to walk away from them. And this morning, we need to allow the light to do what the light only can do. We're going to pray together. Let's just close our eyes, if that's okay. This morning, if you know that the light's not switched on because you know that there are areas you do not want God to have anything to do with, partly because you know what he'd say, and partly because there's a guilt and a shame, or there's a tendency to say, I just want to carry on living like this, it's okay. People don't stop following God because they don't love him. They stop following him because they love darkness too much. If you know that there's an area that God needs to shine in your life, and I just want you to stand because I want you to join me, because God's highlighted some stuff in me as I've written this. Join me this morning, and I want to pray for you and with you. So if that's you, why don't you just stand where you are? If not, we'll just carry on with the service and close things down. But I just think, God, you make the choice to switch the light on. But as for me, it says in Micah, I'm going to switch the light on, God. It's already in me. It's already there. I just need to decide to use it and turn it on. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to say a prayer, and I want you to repeat it. We normally just do this for when people are getting to know Jesus, but as for me, you need to make a declaration this morning. And I'm not saying say it in your heart. I'm saying open your mouth and say it. Because we're making a decision. When I decide something with my children, I don't say it in my head because they have no idea that I've made the decision. And even though God can read our thoughts and he can know what is in our minds, there's something powerful about the confession that we give. So I'm just going to say a few sentences, and those of you who have stood, I want you to just repeat them after me. This is us making a decision. And I'm praying this prayer. I know you think I might be praying it because I'm up at the front, but actually I'm praying it. This is my prayer this morning that I want you to share with and take part in. So thank you, Jesus. Come on, those of you who stood. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me this morning, for giving me the courage to stand. I choose today to turn the light on, to allow you to adjust my vision, and to stand up from where I've been sitting. I choose this morning to walk away from and make the changes that I need to make. Help me today to love the light and to hate the darkness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.